The Parting of Burns and Highland Mary by James Archer is the work of a Scottish artist, and it treats a quintessentially Scottish subject. Born in 1759, almost exactly 100 years before this picture was painted, Robert Burns is both Scotland's greatest poet and an icon of Scottishness. In 2009, he was voted the greatest Scot of all time. And if the Burns cult flourishes today, it was, if anything, even stronger in the mid-19th century. Images of the poet proliferated, especially as it happens in Australia and New Zealand, and so even in approaching the art gallery, assuming that you came along Art Gallery Road, you would have passed a statue of Robbie Burns. And if you'd been a visitor to the Art Gallery of New South Wales in the 19th century, you would also have encountered inside the gallery a statue in marble of Highland Mary. James Archer's painting shows an episode in Burns's life which took place in 1786, when he was 27 years old, and this was a very complicated moment in his life. The family farm was in severe financial trouble, and Burns was being pursued in the courts by the father of a girl called Jean Armour, whom, to the absolute horror of her family, he managed to get pregnant. In the end, Burns married Jean Armour, but at this time, he seems to have given up hope of ever doing so, and he let his eye wander. And it wasn't very long before his eye focused on a beautiful young dairymaid working on a neighbouring estate, a girl by the name of Margaret Campbell, though in Burns's poetry she's generally called Highland Mary. It seems that Highland Mary was a great beauty. Descriptions of her written by those who had some memory of her describe a girl with a slender, graceful figure, blue eyes, a wealth of pale reddish hair, and a pale complexion, going about her business in her bare feet. Archer can have had no visual record of Highland Mary's appearance, but it seems he knew the salient details. In any case, what he paints is really the idea of Highland Mary, which as time went on became more and more idealised. By the mid-19th century, Highland Mary had acquired a status equivalent to sainthood in the Burns cult. She was known as a pure and innocent creature, the white rose, it was said, in the midst of the poet's passion flowers. Besides one or two references in his poetry, the one substantial statement made by Burns himself about his relationship with Highland Mary is a manuscript note which reads as follows, and I'll spare you an Englishman's attempts to imitate a Scots accent. "My Highland lassie," by this he means Highland Mary, "was as warm-hearted and charming a young creature as ever blessed a man with generous love. After a pretty long tract of the most ardent reciprocal attachment, we met by appointment on the second Sunday of May in a sequestered spot by the banks of the Aire, where we spent the day in taking a farewell before she should embark for the Western Highlands to arrange matters among her friends for our projected change of life." This is the episode represented in Archer's painting, set as it is among springtime pasture lands on the banks of the River Aire. It appears that Burns was planning at this time to emigrate to Jamaica, and he wrote a song, "Will Ye Go to the Indies, My Mary," which seems irresistibly to imply that he intended to take Mary with him and to make her his wife. After parting on the banks of the Aire, Highland Mary was to return to her family and friends to make preparations to join him on the voyage. The remainder of the story is tragic. Highland Mary very soon afterwards contracted typhoid and died. Burns was eventually permitted to marry Jean Armour, but his wife noted on occasion that he would become morose and seek solitude, and it was doubtless on one of these occasions that he wrote his poem to Mary in Heaven, looking back again to the episode represented in Archer's painting. "That sacred hour can I forget? Can I forget the hallowed grove where by the winding air we met to live one day of parting love? Eternity will not efface those records dear of transports past, thy image at our last embrace, our little thought we 'twas our last."